From Studio Live in Cumberland, BC, you're listening to the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm Chef Jonathan Fraser.
And I'm Darren Howlett, and thanks for joining us as we explore the food culture of the Comox Valley and beyond. Tonight, we have two guests with us. We have Sue Smith and Leslie
Staff.
I'm sorry. I'm going to keep doing that to you, I know. But thanks for joining us, ladies.
Did you say chef?
No. Nope.
Chef.
Honored chef Leslie Staff.
This is actually something, and I'm going to get Leslie to describe this because she's just been honored with a pretty prestigious award.
Sure.
And you probably best describe it then. As
I
being
think
a
so, yeah.
member of the Chefs Association and the Canadian Culinary Federation.
The Honor Society is a it's a society for those chefs nationally who have done something exemplary as far as working to help other chefs, working to help the Chefs Association, who put a lot of energy into it. And
wow.
I've just been inducted into the society. I'm the fifth woman in Canada. There's about 50 chefs.
That's
across
good.
Canada altogether that
wow.
are in this society. It's quite an honor.
Absolutely.
There were six of us inducted in this year. And it was, that's when it sunk home to me is actually seeing the program and you're one name out of six. And the people there that are honoring you are all the chefs that you've basically been mentored by or learned from
right.
As you're growing into your career. I've now been doing it for almost 30 years.
Wow.
And so it was an honor. It was I was inducted in Windsor, Ontario, which is where our national conference was. So it's
amazing.
A very interesting group because there are many different ways of being inducted.
Mm-hmm.
Mine was different because our branch is very small here in the North Island, and my take on this branch has always been, well, that's great, that's the way you do it in Toronto, but we're probably not going to do it that way.
That's pretty much the way we deal with everything.
Exactly. And it's not that Toronto is wrong. For them, it's perfect, but it really doesn't translate well out here.
No.
So for me, a lot of my energy went into, I work with the community. We're very community-based.
Mm-hmm.
We work with the Comox Valley Farmers Market a huge amount because this is what we are all about.
Right.
This is what's important to us. So that was the starting point for this honor for me, was the recognition of the work that I have done at the community level.
Yeah. Wow.
And Leslie, you've done an amazing amount of work in this community, especially with the Chefs Association. I know you kind of shrug it off.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I just work with a bunch of great people. Like,
yeah.
I think said, I'm only getting this award because of the people in the association. But
yeah.
I mean, you're the one who sort of has led us the way and sort of point us in directions that
yeah.
we may not have ever even thought about possible, you know, changing the way people think about.
Well, and I mean, I say this with zero snark. I'm not poking fun. I'm not whatever. I'm just trying to like compare it or relate it. Would this go in line with like being knighted in the sense of you're not being knighted, but the same sort of recognition. This is a very big circumstance. You're being mm-hmm. noted for your
I'm
efforts.
Being recognized for my work.
Right. That's amazing.
Yep.
That's incredible.
Because
from now on, I will call you nothing but
chef.
Honorable chef.
Chef.
Okay.
Okay. I think the thing is that our industry is such an odd one because our professionalism, are we a trade? Are we a profession? And we go back and forth.
Right.
And, you know, then you have your food network people and stuff. And it's very hard to pin down. It's
right.
kind of like jellyfish.
Mm-hmm.
And even ourselves, we know within as far as when we recognize other chefs, when we're working with them. And our best line really is that you can come in with credentials this long, but until you pick up a knife, I don't know.
Right.
You know, and that's how we judge
this is,
things.
It's a conversation that's been going around for a while, mm-hmm. I think for the last 2 weeks, just amongst certain circles. I know I've been involved in probably two conversations as such, and you may have been too, John, but We were just, you know, discussing that. What makes a chef? What gives that label? Where does that, you know, anybody can go around and say that they're a chef after they've had a certain amount of training or whatever they're quantifying, you know, whatever their metric is. But yeah, it's interesting. I think
that's going to be one of our next.
Yeah, I think that we
episodes.
Should probably explore that in depth at some point.
We have a group of chefs up here.
Yeah,
but for right now,
you have totally different answers.
Yeah, oh, exactly. Absolutely.
Every one of them.
Yeah,
for sure. Totally.
But I think right now for today's episode, I really want to focus on the Chefs Association and uniting all those chefs together to sort of work together and sort of talk to because the North Vancouver Island Chefs Association is working on something new here, and I don't know which of the two of you want to actually. Yeah, which what do we want to talk about first here? Because we're basically starting a recruiting drive because we want to bring some people in, and so you've changed a bit of the fee scale for being a member, which I think makes it equal for.
Yep, we've leveled the playing field basically because, and again, every branch is different on how they do this, but what we've found was that chefs were almost being penalized for coming in and being a part of our organization, just in terms of the finances.
Oh wow!
Their dues were significantly higher than anybody else's.
May I just quickly interject? Yeah. What else is there then? I mean, there's you say the chefs. Mm-hmm. Who else?
Okay, we have two other categories. Mm-hmm. One of them would be prior to being a chef. So basically, you're in the learning mode. Whether you're a student, you're an apprentice, you just don't feel comfortable taking on the chef role.
Right.
You wouldn't use that term for yourself yet. So it has a certain amount to do with training and a certain amount with what your current job status or how you perceive yourself.
Right.
The other category is more, we call them associates, and we have two categories within that, and one would be business and the other would be individual. Business, for example, would be farmers, producers, fishermen, a lot of people that we work with.
Right.
And individuals are more people who are interested in the culinary industry, and they really run the gamut as far as what they can be
right.
and how they work with our organization. Basically, they want to be a part of it. They want to be part of the food culture
that
you're talking about.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's great. That it's open
like
to everyone.
Yourself, Sue.
I was just going to say that. Is that not Sue?
Yes, that's what I'm an individual associate member.
Right.
Having worked with the chefs for 10 years doing cooking classes.
Right.
I gained such a huge respect for how hard the chefs work.
Right.
And how had to come out from behind the kitchen, come out from the kitchen, become known. So I had great joy in introducing chefs to the people in the Comox Valley. So I just enjoy working with chefs and getting the word out about how talented they are and really how special they are to have in the community. And I wanted to continue that work even once the store closed. So
I teamed up
with the Chefs Association so I could help in any way I could.
Oh, that's fantastic. And people that may not know that you were, the store that you speak of was Beyond the Kitchen Door?
Yes.
Right. And that you were there for?
I organized the cooking classes and PR and special events. And
right.
Just getting the word out about.
Yeah. No, and this is great. This is the way that, this is one of the ways that you've managed to stay doing what you're doing. Mm-hmm.
She continues to do that with us because, I mean, we're not marketing people.
Right.
I mean, we cook great. We have some big flaws on some of the other pieces.
Barely get recipes together.
Yes. Usually have to be browbeaten.
I can vouch for how difficult it is to get recipes from chefs.
Yep. And she doesn't even take it personally.
No.
Nope.
Yeah. So I think that those are the breakdown of the different groups. So what we wanted to do was to encourage more chefs to join, because they're an integral part of this.
Right.
What we're offering is such a huge network, and it's not just a network of what's here in the valley. That's a really big piece of it because everybody in this room really feels strongly that working together is the only way that the Comox Valley will get stronger and just be better.
Yeah.
And so there's that piece that's very important. But there's also further out than that. It's how we work provincially. There are three other branches in BC. We work with them.
Right.
And that translates into if we need to do something provincially, we know how to contact each other and to work with each other. Also, if you want to move, you want to move to the Okanagan or anything like that, we have those kinds of contacts.
Right.
Now, chefs in general have always had this, simply because we move around and that sort of thing a lot in our work lives.
Kitchen
and
staff, travel.
Kitchen staff, yeah.
You want to get more experience, you go to another restaurant.
Yeah, it's a very informal thing.
Yeah.
But this is an actual formalized group. So it means that we can actually just pick up the phone and say, I'll vouch for this person, or, you know, this person needs to come. And whether it's, they want to work for 2 weeks stage, and that's all, and, you know, just to get the experience, or they want to do something more permanent.
Right.
And it covers so much more now, because the culinary industry is so much more than just food.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's, you know, there's the whole bartending piece. There's all kinds of pieces to it.
Yeah.
So, and we have all that network.
Right.
We also have the pieces for education.
Right.
For upgrading, there's, I mean, the Canadian Culinary Federation has actually wrote the book on how to get your, once you get your Red Seal, your next steps.
Oh, yeah.
There's something called a CCC, and then there's also CWC, and these are all degrees that you can take. Comparison, it would be the same as doing your bachelor's, then doing your master's, and then doing your PhD.
Right.
All those pieces are in there till you can actually get a Canadian master chef.
Right.
Okay. And the Canadian Culinary Federation organizes. They've written the book on this. They've organized it. They've got all that in place.
Wow.
Yeah. And these are things that a lot of people don't realize that they do as an organization.
Well, I imagine even, like you said, just any one of those facets are important as, like, alone. But, I mean, just zeroing in on the one, the fact that there's the connection with the other associations, and you're both right. Absolutely, this is a industry where people move around. There's this chef shuffle happens all the time where this person moves, so now there's a void there, so then that person moves, so now there's a void there, and that person moves. And everybody sort of shuffles around, but you always, every time there's a big shuffle, some people decide to take that as their exit and move on to somewhere else in like BC or beyond. And I've seen many a fantastic chef or somebody in the industry move away, and it always seems so risky. And or people just show up from out of nowhere. You're like, oh, I'm from Toronto, and I worked in three restaurants, but I have no support structure. I have no anything, nobody to vouch for me. And that's fantastic, knowing that being part of that association sort of makes it a little more solid. Yeah, makes it a little more comfortable and legitimizes it all. That's great. That's fantastic.
Yeah, having that network is really important. And it's also on a much easier level, too, just support a chef in the Valley. It's Sunday night and they're running out of something that's critical.
Right.
You can pick up the phone and actually call someone and say, you know, I need, have you got?
Right. Yeah.
Done. You know, and that kind of relationship is huge.
Absolutely.
You know,
and absolutely on even on that note, I know, and I'm not going to get into the politics of, you know, it's all whatever, but I know of two places that view each other as definitely as competitors that quite often share ingredients. Because they just, you do that. You just, you step in and help out the other chef. That's the way it works.
Yep. That's how we view it. I mean, you have to, because if the Comox Valley doesn't have a hospitality industry, and that doesn't mean one more restaurant. That means a group of restaurants.
Right.
If it doesn't have that, people won't come.
No, absolutely.
Period. Yeah. Well, you know, so therefore, you're much stronger to have choices. Because then people will come and they'll stay. Because, oh, well, we haven't tried there yet.
Right.
You know? So why wouldn't you support that?
Right.
You know? At the end, that's the picture you should be looking at.
Yeah, sure.
So. I think it's neat, the networking, because, I've made connections. I've made a lot of friends. And I've got a lot of employees out of it. You know, I've had a lot of people come through the restaurant that I've met at a chef's association meeting.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, find out a little bit about them, their background. And then when I have a position come available and they come knocking at the door, I'm like, yeah, you're the perfect fit for this. So
right.
I've been lucky to have that cycle. But there's other things. Like I just going to bring up the other day when we were talking on the phone and I was like, we're talking about the flavor, the North Vancouver Island picnic, which is coming up. And I was like, oh, I want to do kimchi.
Right.
And I'm like, Leslie, do you know where I can get some good cabbage in town? Mm-hmm. And like the next day I've got this email and she's connecting me to Dennis.
Yeah, Seal Bay.
Seal Bay Farm. And I'm like, oh, okay, perfect. Now I got to follow up on this. But she, all of a sudden there's a lineup that on my own I didn't quite have it, even though I'm quite connected to a lot of people. I just didn't make it there. But
right.
Doing that quick reference.
I was actually standing at the market and I had bought cabbage and I knew that she had lots. So
like, yeah,
and right. That's, but that's the way it should be. Really, because you can't always go to the market. Saturday morning, it's just not conducive.
Mm-hmm.
But you know I'm there.
Yeah.
And if you've got a market question,
it's
so easy. You just say, well, you know where to go. It's like going for the information of the person that's going to have it.
Right.
Right.
That's big. The other, when you're talking about staffing is so much a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And very often if somebody's new to the community, whether they're new to the industry as well, and sometimes that's the case as well, the Chefs Association is a perfect place to come because you're removing the pressure point of going in and actually performing, which is what you're going to be doing in the kitchen if you're looking for a job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You come to volunteer at a food fest or you come to one of our events, whether it's a dinner or whatever, you get a chance to actually meet somebody one-on-one.
Right.
And develop a relationship, a rapport. The other thing is that there's a lot of different kinds of chefs. There's a lot of different kinds of employees. Sure. And a lot of times that, they'll look and someone will come to us and say, I'm looking for something. And I'll say, that's probably not the best fit.
Yeah.
I know how their kitchen works.
Right.
And I would be more inclined to, try these couple or something instead.
Right.
And it's not just based on the kind of food they're doing. It's the kind of kitchen they run, the kind of personality they are.
Right.
Because it's a very intense industry. And you really have to know what you're getting into. And I have seen so many people burn out because they've been in the wrong kitchen.
Right.
Because it doesn't fit, and they think that that's everywhere.
Right.
And you want to challenge yourself, you want to push yourself, you want to learn new things, but everybody learns in a different way. Ask any teacher. And so therefore, what one chef will be able to impart knowledge to a particular person will not be able to do it to the next one.
Right.
So making those matchups is just as important to us.
I definitely agree. I know certain people throughout the years that I've known tons of people to burn out. Unfortunately, it's sort of a side of the industry. There's a lot of burnout. But it's because there's so heavy demands met and needed or necessary. But I found, too, that a lot of people do the jack of all trades cooking.
Mm-hmm.
They're sort of, and by default, they haven't made that choice. It's just where they're going. This place needs them to perform all these duties. And I've known quite a few people that have found happiness after when they specialized.
Yeah.
When they realized that, I used to work with a guy. I know he's not in town anymore, but his name was Don. And he was sort of thrust into the chef position, even though he applied as a saucier.
Mm-hmm.
And he did well, and he kept going, and he kept it up. But that's not what he wanted to do. And then when we finally had enough staff to bring in a proper chef, and he was extremely happy to be able to step back down into being a saucier, because that's what he wanted to do. That was where his passion lied. That's in that, and others just seeing that. Quite often, I think that you're right, that a lot of people are in the industry and burn out because they're not doing exactly what they want to do in the industry, but they think that because they've got their foot in the door that this is the way it's going to be, when in actuality there's so many avenues within to start searching out.
And you really need to do what you like, because otherwise you won't be good at it.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
Yeah.
No, it's a tough job.
Yeah.
And really you have to, one of the traits that goes along every chef I've ever worked with is the passion for what they're doing.
Yeah.
And you really, it just keeps them going.
Yeah, absolutely.
And often customers would ask, wow, Jonathan or the chef has worked all day and now he's here teaching.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time Jonathan taught, he said, oh man, I've had people look at me and I can see them enjoying my food. Mm-hmm. So it was just that the yeah. passion that he actually got to see
yeah.
and feel what people were enjoying about his great food. And it yeah. was it's just that connection and it's the passion. Mm-hmm. And I think when you're doing what you love and you're that mm-hmm. aspect of it, it keeps you going.
Yeah, absolutely. I would definitely. I mean, there's yeah, most things you get feedback. Most professions you get feedback, and that's one of the ones where it's hard to find. It's hard to get good feedback. Yeah, I mean, generally.
Yeah.
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 It was wonderful seeing the look in the chef's face when 10 people were sitting there watching them, and then the food came out, and just everybody's face would light up. This is so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. No, because we're very critical of ourselves.
Oh yeah,
we are like so critical.
Yeah,
we're our worst enemy sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's nice to have know there's a group out there that mm-hmm. is in the same place as you mm-hmm. and has yeah. the same feelings.
Well, that's the thing is that when you give other chefs, I mean, I know sometimes someone will criticize something that I do, and other people were like, "What are you doing?" And it's like, yeah, but they're honest. It's like I need to know what that
yeah.
yeah
that person's that's very valuable to me. And another chef can do that, and they also know how to do that.
Right.
Because yeah. they're not, you know, they're not taking you down or anything like that. It's like, you know what? I think if you just did a little bit of this,
right.
Let's try it. Yeah. And it's a let's try it.
Right.
Not you do it or me do it or whatever.
Right.
You know, then it's more it's something you've created and, yeah. and you've made it just made it better. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Yeah. So
that's
I love it when someone takes a dish and then add something to your dish to make it that next step. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like,
yeah.
absolutely.
I'm like, oh, I put this and this. And they're like, oh, that's good. But what if you put this? I'm like, I didn't even think about that. You know?
Yeah. No, that's the fun part of being in the Chefs Association, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because when we're doing Food Fest, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Is that you're collaborating, you're building, you're trying different things because we all have different taste buds. We all have different ways we like to do things. And when you're a chef, sometimes you start to lose that because you're answering to everything.
Right.
And so you lose that ability to kind of run with it. And mm-hmm. so that makes this more fun. I think that's a big piece of the association is to create a network where you feel the support, but also to create a network where you feel like you're going to have fun.
Right.
And I think that's a big deal.
And sort of to segue here into and make it not sound like a commercial for it. now that we've built up how fun it is and how incredible it is and all the great things about it, you said that you were in the midst of a membership drive?
Yep. Two things that we're doing currently for 2017, we will be pulling the initiation fee for chefs who join.
Mm-hmm.
And we will also be reducing the cost so that it will be the same. It'll be $120 a year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which is more than reasonable. There's a huge long list of benefits that you get with us. We've talked about the intangibles.
Right.
Because those are the things that we're passionate about. Those are the things
right.
that we care about. It's the emotional stuff. Whereas right. there is actually a list of things you get.
Oh, yeah.
And they will be on our website, which should be live, I would suspect, well, before the end of the month.
Right.
Okay. It
will okay.
be there. And they are listed on there because it's some of it's intangible, but some of it is actually concrete things that you get.
Oh, wow.
And I think that it's always a question that people ask us. Mm-hmm. Well, what do I get? And sometimes it's hard to explain and that sort of thing.
Right.
But that's why we like people to come out and actually just see it and experience it too. I think the flavor event that's coming up in September. Is a huge opportunity to come and see whether, you know, to volunteer or even to come as a guest
mm-hmm.
because that's the Comox Valley at its finest.
Yeah.
We've just come through the Shellfish Festival. That's another piece
yeah.
where we're very much hands-on and we're very much a piece of it. And it's a nice time to come out and just see how many different things that are going on here and how well people can work together.
Yeah. Right.
It's great, too. I mean, when the association does a lot of volunteer work, does
oh,
a
yeah.
lot of activities just to spread the message of mm-hmm. wonderful food and what we have available here.
And community.
And the community here, for sure. But there's also, you know, there's lots of you get back a lot more too. Like I think there's just training and information that you learn from all
training,
the events.
Training, bursaries, all those things that normally go along with any organization like this.
Yeah.
Because you know those are the things that you're built on. That's how you how it starts. And, you know, advice, all that sort of thing. You know, and I think that with us, you know, the community piece is not one that's always there, but for us, we come back to the community. That's where we go, you know, is being able to reach out and actually communicate with the people that are here.
Right. So, wow.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, I think we've covered everything.
Yeah.
Have we? Covered everything? All right. Wonderful.
Long list.
We could probably sit here and go on all day about it because I know. Yeah. You know, I know the three of us are very passionate about it.
Ah. Yeah.
I know Sue has something that she wants.
Yep.
She's pointing out.
She's going to go. Actually, something. Mission statement.
Oh, yeah.
So this mission is something statement. That we really worked on.
Because there was a survey sent out to the members of the Chefs Association asking them what the North Vancouver Island Chefs Association meant to them. Mm-hmm. And a word that came to mind. So based on the feedback from the members of the association, the North Vancouver Island Chefs Association came up with their mission statement, which I will read.
Sure, that sounds
okay. To promote the culinary profession and make a positive impact for food professionals through leadership, education, and certification while building strong community partnerships.
Oh, yeah.
And I really feel that does sum up the wonderful work that the Chefs Association does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's great.
Excellent. So now, if there's anyone out there that's interested, or maybe we're hoping that we're going to pass this along and someone who's maybe interested in the Chefs Association who'd like to get involved and they've listened to this episode and thought, maybe this is something for me, they can get a hold of anyone at the Chefs Association by... Leslie's got her business card out.
I'm just trying to pull out all the information I need. Okay, info at northvancouverislandchefs.com.
Great.
And it's a huge mouthful, but I'm sorry.
But definitely you could check out the Facebook page for the Chefs Association.
Yeah, Facebook is easy. Really. The thing is that it... Make sure you put North Vancouver Island in, because otherwise you'll get shot over to Vancouver. So it just makes it easier.
It's good to know.
All right. Well, we'd like to thank our listeners again for tuning in and listening to the Edible Valley podcast. And we'd like to thank our guests for coming in and chatting with us today.
Thank you.
Yeah. And thanks, as always, to our sponsors, too. Atlas Cafe and Ivan's Truffles, thank you very much. And there's always room for another sponsor or two, so please get in touch with us if that's something that you're interested in.
Awesome.
Good.
The Atlas Cafe, celebrating 20 years in the Comox Valley. Globally inspired, locally sourced.
Do you like chocolate? I like chocolate.
IvansTruffles.com.